Hi, I'm Dr. Jerry Jackson, out with the Wild Things. Summer rains and summer heat deliver surprises at our feet. They suddenly appear as if by magic. Tiny umbrellas formed in a ring, thought to be where fairies dance and sing. I'm speaking of mushrooms. They come in an incredible array of sizes, shapes, colors, and textures. While many mushrooms are edible, others are deadly, and the hunting of wild mushrooms for the table should be done only with considerable knowledge of their diversity and toxicity. Mushrooms and other fungi play essential roles in nature, helping to recycle nutrients from other creatures that die. The mushroom on the surface of the ground or on a rotting log was produced by a network of thread-like structures called hyphae that gather food that allows it to reproduce. In the Pacific Northwest, some mushrooms have been identified that have networks of hyphae that cover many acres. Closer to home, dependence on such a network is also true of the fungus or mold that begins to grow on a slice of bread. What you see are just the fruiting structures, getting ready to send spores out to begin life anew at another source of food. With the Wild Things is produced at the Whitaker Center and the College of Arts and Sciences at Florida Gulf Coast University. For the Wild Things, I'm Dr. Jerry Jackson. Hi, I'm Dr. Jerry Jackson, out with the Wild Things. Following heavy rain, our lawns are sometimes dotted with small white mushrooms that seem to have no stem and are rounded to pear-shaped, white, and covered with a textured surface almost like that of a golf ball. Within a few days, these marble-sized to lemon-sized mushrooms turn brown, and when the brown ones are stepped on, they seem to give off a puff of smoke or dust. It's this puff that gives these mushrooms their name, puffballs. The puff isn't smoke or dust, it's the puffball's means of reproducing. Thousands of tiny spores to be carried on the wind, each capable of growing into a new puffball. Puffballs are among the easiest of mushrooms to identify because of their lack of a stem and rounded to pear-shaped form. They are edible when fresh, but quickly become undesirable as tiny worms take advantage of their nutrients. Puffballs also do no harm to your lawn. They're simply taking advantage of nutrients in the soil. The tiny white puffball that is most common in Florida is known as Lycoperdon, which literally means wolf breaks wind, named by a scientist with a sense of humor for the odor produced by the released spores. With the Wild Things is produced at the Whitaker Center and the College of Arts and Sciences at Florida Gulf Coast University. For the Wild Things, I'm Dr. Jerry Jackson. Hi, I'm Dr. Jerry Jackson, out with the Wild Things. Amanita mushrooms come in diverse sizes, colors, and shapes. All have a typical mushroom cap on a stalk and white gills on the underside. Some are edible, many are deadly. At first, an Amanita mushroom is egg-shaped, much like a puffball. But while puffballs are edible, mistaking an Amanita for a puffball can be lethal. A puffball has no stem. An Amanita has a stem, though it is hidden during early growth. The Amanita's stem can be revealed by slicing the mushroom in half. A puffball sliced in half is uniform throughout. A young Amanita cut in half shows a cap folded over the stem, much like a closed umbrella. An Amanita grows from a cup at its base. Other mushrooms do not. If you find a mushroom with a stem growing out of a cup-like structure, it's likely an Amanita. The tragedy of an Amanita is that its poison begins to work only after it has been digested. By then, it's too late. Collecting wild mushrooms to eat is not safe for those with only a casual interest and minimal knowledge. With the Wild Things is produced at the Whitaker Center and the College of Arts and Sciences at Florida Gulf Coast University. For the Wild Things, I'm Dr. Jerry Jackson. Hi, I'm Dr. Jerry Jackson, out with the Wild Things. In 1785, the British biologist James Bolton discovered a brilliant canary-yellow mushroom growing among pineapple plants in a Halifax greenhouse. He described it as a new species to science, and it is often known in Britain as the plant pot dapperling. Since then, we have found this mushroom growing in the wild throughout the tropics, favoring warm, rich, moist soils. But the plant pot dapperling still seems to favor the soils of potted plants. And with those soils, it has been spread around the world, including to the United States, where it is often known as the yellow houseplant mushroom. It's also sometimes called the yellow pleated parasol because it opens up to look like a 2.5-inch yellow umbrella. The yellow houseplant mushroom occasionally pops up in potted plants in southwest Florida, a beautiful surprise to some and a great concern for others. Within about 36 hours, it is withered and begins to return to the soil. Enjoy it while you can. It's a beautiful world traveler and totally harmless to your houseplant and to the touch. But don't eat it. It can make you sick. With the Wild Things is produced at the Whitaker Center and the College of Arts and Sciences at Florida Gulf Coast University. For the Wild Things, I'm Dr. Jerry Jackson. Hi, I'm Dr. Jerry Jackson, out with the Wild Things. Among the most distinctive of mushrooms are ones known as Earth Stars. Brown, ground-hugging, usually 2 to 3 inch diameter mushrooms with a small round structure at the center and several arms reaching out to the side, much like the limbs of a starfish. Earth stars are generally considered inedible. Over 60 species of earth stars are known, and they can be found around the world. Earth stars first appear as a rounded structure similar to a puffball, but then the outer layer of the structure splits and begins to peel back, revealing that an earth star is multi-layered, much like an onion. The spores of an earth star are produced in the rounded structure at the center of the earth star, but the arms that form from the split outer covering perform two very important functions. First, as they reach out, they curve downward, pushing dried leaves and other debris away, and raising the spore-producing structure such that the spores are more easily spread by the wind. Second, if dry conditions occur, the arms can sometimes fold once more over the spore-producing structure, producing a rounded form that is protected from drying out and sometimes capable of being blown, rolling across the ground in the wind to a new area. With the Wild Things is produced at the Whitaker Center and the College of Arts and Sciences at Florida Gulf Coast University. For the Wild Things, I'm Dr. Jerry Jackson.